having dreams with a negative cast. To be clear, none of the women reported actually smelling roses or rotten eggs in their dreams. The researchers believe that smells influence dreams indirectly by altering the dreamer's emotions. After all, smell is governed largely by the brain's limbic system, which also controls emotion and behavior. The researchers reason that if smell can influence our emotions when we're awake, it could just as easily affect emotions while we're asleep and in the throes of a dream. This moment of science comes from Indiana University, with production support from the Brabson Foundation. Today's program was prepared by Jeremy Shear, with help from Tori Nielsen at the University of Montreal. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amos.indiana.edu. I'm Yael Cassander.
In sports, the Chicago Cubs and Milton Bradley have wrapped up their three-year, $30 million deal after the outfielder passed a physical. Bradley was to be introduced at a Wrigley Field news conference as he joined his seventh team in 10 years and fifth in the last five. His on-field production has often been overshadowed by his outbursts and flashes of anger. A switch hitter, Bradley batted .321 with 22 homers for Texas while leading the AL with a .436 on-base percentage last season. He made the All-Star team while serving primarily as a designated hitter. Eric Mangini has been officially introduced as the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns less than 2 weeks after being fired as coach of the New York Jets. He fills the vacancy created by the firing of Romeo Crennel following a 4-12 season. Two of the nation's top quarterbacks will be on display tonight in the BCS championship game. Heisman Trophy winner Sam Bradford leads second-ranked Oklahoma into Dolphin Stadium for a meeting with top-ranked Florida and Heisman runner-up Tim Tebow. Illinois Athletic Director Ron Gunther has announced the promotion of Kevin Hambly to head volleyball coach. Hambly becomes the seventh head coach in the program's history, just the third in the last quarter century. He succeeds Don Harden, who retired after 13 years at Illinois. The University of Illinois women will be looking for their first Big Ten basketball win of the season tonight in Ann Arbor when they take on the Wolverines. The Illini 4-11 overall are coming off a home loss Saturday to Minnesota. Michigan is coming off a loss Sunday at Penn State. The Blackhawks will try to make it 3 in a row tonight when they continue their 3-game road trip against the Colorado Avalanche. And family, friends, and baseball fans are mourning the death of former Negro Leagues player Prince Joe Henry, known for his skills at entertaining crowds. A funeral service today at the Lovejoy Civic Center in Brooklyn, Illinois, was to be followed by burial at Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery in South St. Louis County. He died Friday at the age of 78. Henry grew up in Brooklyn, Illinois. He played in the Negro Leagues from 1950 to 1959 as an infielder for the Memphis Red Sox, Detroit Stars, Indianapolis Clowns, and Detroit Clowns. That's a look at sports.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. This Saturday's wine tasting features staff picks for 10 wines in the store under $20. Information at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com.
Police today were standing guard outside the home of one of India's most prominent business figures. The head of one of the country's top technology companies resigned yesterday after admitting he had cooked the books to the tune of $1 billion. It's been called one of India's biggest corporate scandals, and the fallout is being felt in the U.S., NPR's Philip Reeves reports.
Sachem Computers was supposed to be a showpiece. It has a glittering headquarters in the Indian city of Hyderabad, befitting India's fourth largest software company. It has more than 50,000 employees and an impressive list of clients, many in the US, some Fortune 500. Today, clients and investors are digesting the stunning news that Sachem's 54-year-old chairman, Ramalinga Raju, has for years, on a gigantic scale, been quietly inflating the figures. Raju penned his confession in a letter in which he took sole responsibility for the fraud. He resigned and said he was submitting himself to the full force of the law. He tried to fix the fraud, but couldn't. He said it had been like riding a tiger, not knowing how to get off without being eaten. India's reacted with shock. Its stock market plummeted with the news. Satyam's share value dropped by 80%. There are concerns the scandal will discourage foreign companies from outsourcing to India. There are worries, too, that it'll generally dent foreign investor confidence at a time when, like everybody, India's trying to weather the fallout of the global economic meltdown. Today, India's newspapers are full of angry questions about how Raju got away with his fraud for so long. One stands out. Why, they want to know, didn't the auditors spot anything? Philip Reeves, NPR News.
Microsoft has scored a victory against its competitor, Google. The two companies had been vying to become the default internet search provider for Verizon's mobile phones. Early reports said Google was in the lead to seal the deal, but the winner is Microsoft. Verizon made the announcement yesterday. Microsoft announced it also reached a similar search engine deal with Dell Computer. Both deals boost Microsoft's position in the competitive world of search engines and advertising. Those deals are among the many unveiled at the Consumer Electronics Show. That's the huge technology spectacle, that kicked off today in Las Vegas. NPR's Laura Seidel is there, and she's been taking a close look at consumer electronics that are being developed for cars.
I'm standing in the middle of an almost 5,000-square-foot hall. Every inch is dedicated to displays of technology for the car. Right in the center is a 1959 black Cadillac Eldorado with ruby-red leather interior. A car from a simpler time, when having an AM radio was about as high-tech as in-vehicle technology got. The vintage Caddy is surrounded by technology that can transform it into a 21st-century vehicle. In a year in which car sales are in the doldrums, these companies are hoping that even if you won't buy a new car, maybe you will upgrade the one you have.
With used cars, the first areas that people refurb the cars to is wheels, tires, and audio system.
I'm talking with Rich Koh, who does research and development for Eclipse. They make a device that can be added to the dashboard of your car. It will give you a GPS system, a DVD player that connects with screens in the rear seat, an iPod connection, radio, CD, all for around $1,000. All through the hall are devices that range from a few $100 or a few $1,000 that can upgrade your car. There are digital television receivers.
This is the Exonic EXD TV100 digital TV tuner with antenna designed for mobile applications.
There are speaker systems that will rival your home stereo.
This is the Boss Audio Systems OHC63 full-range speaker with die-cast aluminum frame.
There are safety features.
This is our top-of-the-line Crime Stopper collision avoidance system.
There's a night vision camera.
We're Nav TV. We put FLIR, Pathfinder IR, thermal imaging cameras into your car, making night driving safer.
But this is just the beginning for the merger of consumer electronics and the automobile. Back at the Eclipse booth, Rich Koh explains where it's all heading.
Let me give you a scenario. What's the first thing you do when you get home? Most people go to their computer and do their emails. You in the future may be able to get in your car and say, "Hi, it's me." Your voice being as unique as your fingerprint allows you to access your system. Boot the house. Now you have your car talking to your home. All you have to do is say, "What's the security status for the day?" Nobody broke in. "What's temperature?" "It's 55 degrees. Please raise it to 70 degrees. Read my email." All your emails are read to you in the car. You don't have to access the computer when you get home. Since you have navigation in the car, the system in your house knows where you are. As you turn the corner to come up the street, part of your programming of your system to have it your way, you see your lights turn on and the garage door opens for you.
How far away are we from this, from a future like that?
Without saying next year and then next year, next year, within the next 5 years, you're going to see it start popping.
And what's in the way?
It can be done now. It's a matter of somebody taking the risk of investment.
Could it be slowed down also by the economy at this point?
The economy is obviously slowing everything down, obviously.
Reporting from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, this is Laura Seidel, NPR News.
It's 2:50. Tonight's college football national championship game matches the Oklahoma Sooners against the Florida Gators. The subplot involves the matchup of two star quarterbacks, Oklahoma's Sam Bradford and Florida's Tim Tebow. From Miami, NPR's Tom Goldman reports.
Sam Bradford is part Cherokee Indian and an inspiration to thousands of Native Americans in his home state of Oklahoma. He won this season's Heisman Trophy after throwing a whopping 48 touchdown passes and helping the Sooners set a record for most points in a season. Although he says he's now used to his sudden fame, Sam Bradford still has Greta Garbo moments.
You know, most of the times I put on a hat before I go out the door. And, you know, if I can go somewhere and no one knows who I am, that's great.
Which means he should be okay with his treatment in Miami. Not that he's unknown here, but even with his story, smart and personable Sam Bradford is the second most talked about athlete in tonight's game. His Florida counterpart, Tim Tebow, has such star power that he even rates a mention in church.
Good morning. All right, good to see everyone here.
Last October, Eric Brown, the minister at the Campus Church of Christ in Gainesville, Florida, led a sermon entitled, Why I Pray for Tim Tebow.
I said, I want to pray for him for the same reason that you're praying for me. Because you appreciate it when people, especially young people, are trying to live lives of integrity and trying to glorify God.
Tebow has lived such a life since he was born in the Philippines to missionary parents. Not just another athlete who praises God after victory, Tebow has taken the message of religion into Filipino slums and into prisons here in the U.S. It's given him a perspective that's evident when he talks to sports reporters.
Pressure isn't having to win a football game. Pressure is having to find your next meal.
Without further ado, the winner of this year's Heisman Trophy is Tim Tebow.
In 2007, when he became the first sophomore to win the Heisman, Tebow also became the first player with at least 20 passing and 20 rushing touchdowns in one season. This season was more about leadership than scoring records. In late September, Florida had its only loss. Tearing up, Tebow publicly apologized to Gator fans.
You have never seen any player in the entire country play as hard as I will play the rest of the season, and you never see someone push the rest of the team as hard as I will push everybody the rest of the season, and you never see a team play harder than we will the rest of this season. God bless.
After his pledge, Florida won 9 straight games convincingly. Tebow proved he's the best player in America, says his coach, Urban Meyer. This week, though, Oklahoma defensive back Dominique Franks danced a little jig on Superman's cape. He said Tebow, the pride of the Southeastern Conference, wouldn't even be the best in the Big 12.
I say you'll probably be about the 4th best quarterback in our conference.
The Big 12 was a quarterback paradise this season, with Sam Bradford and Colt McCoy of Texas finishing ahead of Tebow in the Heisman voting. But Frank's comment still was interpreted as the big diss. The true believer in Tebow turned the other cheek. It's an honor to be 4th best, he said. I'll take it as a compliment. The football player in Tebow followed up by saying he gets amped up when he plays teams that talk a lot. Bad news for Oklahoma's defense, which has struggled at times. The Sooners will be trying to stop the always supercharged Tim Tebow, now playing with a few more amps. Tom Goldman, NPR News, Miami.
A new wrinkle in the Rod Blagojevich story. Governor Blagojevich's defense attorneys have asked a federal judge to throw U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald and all his assistants off the fraud and bribery case against him. Chief Defense Counsel Edward Gensen said in a motion today that the news conference Fitzgerald held in announcing the charges was so filled with prejudicial publicity that the prosecutor should bow out. The full text of the motion wasn't immediately available because it had been filed under seal, but it was described by U.S. District Court Chief Judge James Holderman, who ordered it unsealed, and by Blagojevich attorney Sheldon Sorosky. Fitzgerald spokesman Randall Sanborn had no immediate comment. Well, if you overindulge during the holiday season and you're having a hard time cutting back now, it turns out there's a biological reason for that. NPR's Patty Naiment has the story.
Dr. Rita Redberg says she sees it all the time. Those January patients lugging around an extra 5 pounds or even more. Holidays can do that to you, says the University of California at San Francisco cardiologist.
I see it on the scales because we'll have a very earnest talk in October about weight loss, and then the visit after the holidays is generally a weight gain.
And year after year,
people get discouraged when they realize they're now up 50 pounds. You know, it started as 5 pounds and then, you know, 10, 20, and those pounds just start piling up quickly. And I see that commonly in my patients.
When you overeat, biological changes in your body can set you up for a lifetime of overeating. Take the biological clock, an innate mechanism that tells you when to sleep and when to eat. Dr. Joe Bass, an endocrinologist and molecular biologist at Northwestern University, studies the body clock in mice, and he says when mice are overfed, their body clock changes and not for the better.
So mice, for instance, if they eat a high-fat diet, they actually wake up during what is nighttime for them and eat. It would be as if you were waking up every night and eating all the sweets in your refrigerator.
All this suggests that people who eat less fat will sleep better and not engage in nighttime binging. And the body clock's just one of a number of changes that occurs when we overindulge.
It sets your body chemistry sort of into red alert.
Dr. Sasha Stiles is a family physician who specializes in obesity at Tufts Medical Center.
An inordinate amount of what you eat will dump into fat storage, where it will remain as fat in your body.
And all that food can trigger an unfortunate cycle. The pancreas produces extra insulin to process the sugar load and remove it from the bloodstream. It doesn't stop producing insulin until the brain senses that blood sugar levels are safe. But often, too much sugar is removed.
So the most common thing that people will chuckle about is that, well, I'll just get up and I'll eat some more chocolate or some, you know, pancakes with syrup or something, or some more donuts and carbohydrates to bring their blood sugar back up to normal.
And if you drink lots of icy beverages with your food, it only gets worse.
When you drink cold liquids, your stomach will start contracting. And when what that means is that it will then contract and it will massage the food that will again quickly leave your stomach to the rest of your GI tract. Your stomach will be empty.
And you'll be hungrier sooner. And if you consistently overeat, your stomach changes too. The neurological tissue at the top of the stomach, which signals the brain when the stomach is full, starts to malfunction.
When you overeat time and time again, this electrical conduit pathway gets tired and it doesn't tell your brain that you're full anymore.
So here's some food for thought. The next time you're tempted, just think about all those biological body cycles, about your sleep cycle, your metabolism, and how easily they can get disrupted by that extra piece of cake or bunch of cookies or juicy cheeseburger. Patty Naiman, NPR News.
Earth and sky.
Scientists have documented unusual dead zones, waters with low oxygen off the coast of the U.S. Pacific Northwest.
We've seen